நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வ்யாசம் தத்தோ ஜயமுதீரயேத். நஷ்டப்ராயேஷ்வ பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதீர் உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகீ நந்தனாய ச நந்தகோப குமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நம. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 11 சாப்டர் 5 என்டைட்டில்டு நாரதஸ் டீச்சிங்ஸ் டு வசுதேவ் டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 47. தர்ஷனாலிங்கனாலாபை ஷயணாசன போஜனை ஆத்மாவாம் பாவித கிருஷ்ணே புத்ரஸ்நேகம் ப்ரகுர்வதோ. 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 தர்ஷனாலிங்கனாலாபை ஷயணாசன போஜனை ஆத்மவாம் பாவித கிருஷ்ணே புத்ரஸ்நேகம் ப்ரகுர்வதோ. தர்ஷனாலிங்கனாலாபை ஷயணாசன போஜனை ஆத்மாவாம் பாவித கிருஷ்ணே புத்ரஸ்நேகம் ப்ரகுர்வதோ. தர்ஷனாலிங்கனாலாபை ஷயணாசன போஜனை ஆத்மாவாம் பாவித கிருஷ்ணே புத்ரஸ்நேகம் ப்ரகுர்வதோ. மாதாஜிஸ், தர்ஷனாலிங்கனாலாபை ஷயணாசன போஜனை ஆத்மாவாம் பாவித கிருஷ்ணே புத்ரஸ்நேகம் ப்ரகுர்வதோ. வேர்ட் டு வேர்ட் ட்ரான்ஸ்லேஷன். தர்ஷன பை சீயிங், ஆலிங்கன எம்ப்ரேசிங், ஆலாபை அண்ட் கன்வர்சிங், ஷயன இன் டேக்கிங் ரெஸ்ட், ஆசன சிட்டிங், போஜனை அண்ட் ஈட்டிங், ஆத்மா த ஹார்ட்ஸ் வாம் ஆஃப் யூ டூ பாவித ஹாவ் பிகம் பியூரிஃபைடு கிருஷ்ணே ஃபார் லார்ட் கிருஷ்ணா. putra sneham, the affection toward a son, prakurvato, who are manifesting. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: my dear Vasudev, you and your good wife Devaki have manifested great transcendental love for Krishna, accepting Him as your son. Indeed, you are always seeing the Lord, embracing Him, speaking with Him, resting with Him, sitting together with Him, and taking your meals with Him. By such affectionate and intimate association with the Lord, undoubtedly both of you have completely purified your hearts. In other words, you are already perfect. Purport: the words Atma Vam Pavita in this verse are very significant. Ordinary conditioned souls are required to purify their existence by practicing the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga and learning how to offer all of their activities in the devotional service of the Lord. Such a regulative, gradual process, however, cannot be applied to those exalted souls who are personally attending the Lord as His parents, boyfriends, girlfriends, advisors, sons, etc. Due to Vasudev and Devaki's intense love for Krishna as their son, they had already achieved the highest perfectional stage of life. Although in the previous verse, Sri Narada Muni informed Vasudev that he and his wife had become glorious by Krishna's taking birth as their son, Vasudev might have argued that other personal associates of the Lord, such as Jay and Vijay, had fallen down due to offending the Brahmana class. Therefore, in the present verse, Narada has used the word Pavita. You are completely purified, and therefore you are completely free from the slightest trace of discrepancy in your devotional service due to your intense love for Krishna. It is understood from the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that Sri Vasudev, Krishna's pastime father, is actually an eternally liberated Nityasiddha associate of the personality of God. Vasudev has a spiritual body just as Krishna does, and he is always merged in the overwhelming ecstatic desire to serve Krishna, his beautiful son. However, Narada could understand that due to extreme humility, Vasudev considered himself an ordinary human being and was feeling very anxious to receive transcendental instructions in the devotional service of the Lord. Accepting the ecstatic humility of Vasudev and to relieve his anxiety, Sri Narada Muni instructed him the science of Bhakti Yoga as one might instruct an ordinary human being. However, at the same time, Narada has revealed that actually Sri Vasudev and Devaki are already completely glorious by their unprecedented fortune of having Krishna and Balaram as their sons. Therefore, Narada is telling Vasudev, my dear Vasudev, do not in any way be discouraged or doubtful about your position. Undoubtedly, you are immediately going back home, back to Godhead. And actually, you and your good wife are the most fortunate persons. In conclusion, everyone should become fortunate by fully developing his dormant love for Krishna. Many terrible demons who opposed Krishna eventually achieved a happy state of life by their association with Krishna. Therefore, there is no doubt about the supreme bliss achieved by the loving devotees of the Lord who day and night can only think of pleasing Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarine ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ. So today we are reading from the 11th canto, 5th chapter. We are in the actually concluding verses of the of this particular section, which has been going on almost a year since the beginning of the year. So as you know that the whole section, this episode began in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, when Narada Muni went to Dwarka. And Vasudev met Narada Muni, and Vasudev glorified Narada Muni. He said that Bhagavan Bhavato Yatra Swastaye Sarva Dehina. He said that your actually arrival here, it is actually auspicious for all living entities. Kripananam Yata Pitrur Uttama Shloka Vartina. You not only awaken those people who are actually immersed in ignorance, and your arrival also gives pleasure to those who are already awake. And that way he glorified Narada Muni. He said that Bhutanam Deva Charitam Sukayata Dukayacha Sukayaivahi Sadhunam mentioned that the demigods, they actually award happiness and distress, material happiness and material distress to the living entities. Both, they award both. But the sadhus like you, they only award happiness to the living entities. They only award spiritual happiness to the living entities. So in this way, he glorified Narada Muni, and then he asked Narada Muni that please describe about those principles by which one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the science of Bhagavad Dharma. Because Narada Muni felt reluctant that, oh, how can I actually instruct the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But Vasudeva was very eager. In fact, he considered, he put himself in the position of an ordinary person. He said, please instruct me about the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. In fact, simply by hearing the Bhagavad Dharma, one will become free, one will be freed from all kinds of fear. And then Narada Muni, in order to answer the queries of Vasudev, he started describing the conversation which happened in the Treta Yuga between Nimi Maharaj and the Nava Yogendras. Nimi Maharaj asked one question each of the nine Yogendras, and those nine questions and then answers to those nine questions have been answered right from the second chapter, just few verses before this chapter, in the fifth chapter. Narada Muni narrated the entire, all this conversation, and then Narada Muni told Vasudev that you also follow in the footsteps of Nimi Maharaj. Nimi Maharaj, by following the instruction of the Nava Yogendras, he attained perfection. Similarly, you also follow these instructions and you can also attain perfection. And then after mentioning that, then in the concluding verses, Narada Muni is telling that actually you are already perfect. You are already supremely purified. This verse he says that Atma Vam Pavita Krishne. You are already completely purified because day and night you are only thinking of Krishna. Day and night you are actually seeing Krishna, you are feeding Krishna, and you are resting with him, you are conversing with him, you are taking meals with him. So undoubtedly both of you have become completely purified of your hearts. In other words, you are already perfect. So we see Narada Muni, because Vasudev actually asked the questions out of considering himself as a very ordinary person because of his extreme humility. And Narada Muni, respecting that mood of Vasudev, he answered the questions of Vasudev just like he would instruct an ordinary person who would want to begin his journey on Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is nothing but devotional service to the Lord. But then having answered the questions, then Narada Muni is actually, in these verses, he is actually addressing the mood of Vasudev. He is saying that actually, don't think that you have to become perfect. You are actually already perfect. You are already purified because of executing Bhagavad Dharma. You are the father. You are the father and mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't have to. You are already at the stage of love for Krishna. So that is the sum and substance of this particular verse and the previous verse, next verse. So we can see that Vasudev is actually is a very exalted person, but he is out of his ecstasy of love for Krishna, he is considering himself as an ordinary person. Hridayan Maharaj says that out of his ecstatic humility he asked those questions, and Narada Muni answered the questions of Vasudev, considering in the mood of as if he would address an ordinary person, and then he is actually, now he is saying that you are already perfect. Similarly, just another instance, the 10th canto, 84th chapter, at Kurukshetra, when Vasudev met the sages at Kurukshetra, there also Vasudev asked the sages, considering himself as if an ordinary person. Vasudev asked the question to the sages, he said that, oh my dear sages, kindly tell me, how the reactions of the work, one's work, can be counteracted by further work. So that time the sages, again they answered the question of Vasudev, just like they would instruct an ordinary person. So they said that it has been definitely concluded that work is counteracted by further work when the work is performed as a worship of Krishna. So he mentioned basically the same verse in the Gita, Yajnartat Karmanon Yatra, Lokoyam Karma Bandana, Tadartam Karma Kauntaye, Mukta Sangha Samachara. When you perform your work as a worship of Krishna, then the work is counteracted by further work. You will not get reactions. And then he said that generally there are three kinds of desires. Vasudev is in the householder ashram, the grahastha ashram, there are three kinds of desires, that is to accumulate wealth, to have a wife and children, and maybe to go to a better situation in the next life, maybe heavenly planets like that. So then, the sages are telling how we can actually overcome these three kinds of material desires. So they mention, Viteshanam Yajna Danair. If you want to actually overcome the desire for wealth, you must perform charity and yajna, sacrifice. And by that you can overcome, you can transcend the desire for wealth. And then he said, Atma Lokeshanam Deva Kalena Visrijet Buddha. If you want to overcome the desire for going to heavenly planets, you must contemplate about the effects of time. It means how in due course of time, whatever we achieve in the material world, either in this planet or in the other planets, they all get taken away. Kshine punye marthya lokam vishanti. A person comes back to this world after the heavenly planet, after come, once the pious credits are over in the heavenly planets. And then he said, if you want to overcome the desire for the wife and children, Grihair Dara Sutaishanam, you experience the family life according to the principles of Dharma. So in this way, we can overcome these three kinds of desires. So, and then the sages answered the question of Vasudev, just like they would answer a because Vasudev asked this question considering himself an ordinary person. So respecting that mood, in the same mood they answered the question. And then finally they mentioned, వసుదేవ భవాన్ నూనం భక్త్యా పరమయ హరిం జగతాం ఈశ్వరం ప్రార్చ సయద్వాం పురతాం గతః. సార్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ యువర్ లైఫ్ యు ఆర్ ఆల్రెడీ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ వర్షిప్డ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ హరి. బోత్ యూ అండ్ యువర్ వైఫ్ ఆల్రెడీ పర్ఫెక్ట్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విత్ డివోషన్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వై ద లార్డ్ హస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ యూ బోత్ ఆఫ్ యూ యాజ్ హిస్ పేరెంట్స్. సో ఇన్ యువర్ కేస్ యాక్చువల్లీ యు ఆర్ ఆల్రెడీ లిబరేటెడ్ యు ఆర్ ఎటర్నలీ లిబరేటెడ్ బట్ స్టిల్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ఇఫ్ యూ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమిలిటీ ఇఫ్ యూ థింక్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎస్ అ ఫాలన్ దెన్ పర్ఫార్మ్ దీస్ డ్యూటీస్ పర్ఫార్మ్ దీస్ రిచువల్స్ జస్ట్ టు టీచ్ ద పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ డస్. So we can see a parallel over here. Here Narada Muni answered the question of Vasudeva, because Vasudeva asked the question thinking himself as an ordinary person, and then now Narada Muni is telling that you are already perfect, you are already supremely purified. Similarly, the sages at Kurukshetra, they answered the question of Vasudeva, and then they mentioned actually you are already eternally liberated, but still out of humility you want to perform these yajna etc. Then perform them just to teach others, because you are already liberated. So we find that generally the spiritual masters, when they answer the question of a disciple, when they answer the question of a person, they not only answer the question per se, in fact more important than answering the question, they also address the mood in which the person asked the question. Because Vasudeva is answering, asked the question out of his ecstatic humility. So Narada Muni is actually trying to speak these verses in order to actually accepting that mood. He is trying to say, you are already purified, you are already perfect. He did answer the question, but then he is especially understanding the mood. He is telling them, you are already purified. Many times, Srila Prabhupada would also, sometimes one devotee came to Prabhupada and he started telling about some authority, how this person is not chanting 16 rounds, he is not following principles, was speaking. So Prabhupada did not actually take it seriously. Prabhupada did not take it seriously. He said that, no, it's all right. He didn't actually take it seriously. In fact, he spoke in a way which would, in a way of chastising this person. Because Prabhupada could understand the mood of the fault finding in this person. So therefore, he, instead of addressing the actual question, he actually spoke in a way that to address the attitude of fault finding of this person. But the same point was addressed by another devotee out of concern. Then Prabhupada actually gave some practical guidelines how to actually rectify, how to help the devotee. Because there is the same question was asked in the mood of actually helping that person. Therefore the spiritual masters many times, they not only answer the question, more than that, they actually grasp the mood in which that question is asked and then they actually address that mood also. Like many places in the Gita also, Arjuna asks, what is the situation of a fallen yogi? Suppose if a person takes a spiritual life, what is the situation? He gives given of the material life also, and then he doesn't attain perfection in the spiritual life also. What is the restriction of such a yogi? So Krishna answers the question, but also Krishna addresses the mood of Arjuna. But in affectionate mood, Durgatim Tata Gachati, my dear Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes. So that way many places we find that. So we can see, I want to discuss in one theme, that here Vasudeva, he is a very exalted devotee, he is an eternal associate of Krishna, but he is considering himself as an ordinary person out of his humility. And on the reverse, sometimes a person maybe, say, Vasudev is at this level, but he's considering as if he's like a very ordinary person. But somebody may be at this level, but one may think oneself to be at this level. So that is what, because of pride. So Prabhupada writes in, when he talks about humility, amanitvam adambitvam, the definition of humility he says is that, humility means not being anxious of being respected by others. Radhanath Swami Maharaj gives some very beautiful quotes related to pride and humility. He says, when pride comes, we are already fallen, and what comes after that is only a detail. And there are two types of pride. One is self-pride. One is being proud of our abilities and different skills. And another is being proud of the person who is bestowing mercy upon us. The first kind of pride, when we are proud of our own skills, that pride will lead to fear. But when we are proud of the person who is bestowing mercy upon us, this pride will lead to fearlessness. I mentioned another point. To be proud of our righteousness is also a sin. When you are proud of your humility, nobody may spot it except the Lord in the heart. He not only spots it, but he will even magnify it. So, humility, anamanitva means not expecting respect from others. One class he mentioned, in giving respect, we can be very happy in all situations. We can be very happy because we can do it in all situations. But when we expect respect, we will be miserable. We are miserable because it is not that everyone in every situation will respect us. And another quote, very beautiful quote, Maharaj mentioned, without humility, you can have knowledge, but you cannot have realization. If we accept you are a fool, you can learn. If you accept you are a fool, then only you can learn. But don't be a fool, but you should feel like a fool. If you don't feel like a fool, then you are really a fool. I'm just repeating Maharaj's realizations on humility and pride. So we can see that Vasudev is ecstatic humility over here. And as I mentioned, that sometimes because of pride, when a person is at a certain level, but one person thinks oneself to be at a higher level. So in this regard, I want to talk about two classifications of devotees mentioned in the Gita and in the Bhagavatam. So we can find in the Bhagavad Gita, especially Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his Gita commentary, he talks about three levels of devotees, or three types of devotees. Sanishta Bhakta, Sanishta Bhakta, Parinishtita Bhakta, and Nirapeksha Bhakta. He mentions in different places in the Gita. So Sanishta Bhakta means what? Sanishta Bhakta means a devotee performs his prescribed duties of Varnashram Dharma as a form of worship of Lord Hari. So the Sanishta Bhakta, how he progresses is that he performs his prescribed duties as a form of worship of the Lord Hari. He performs Nishkama Karma Yoga. As a result of Nishkama Karma Yoga, he becomes purified. Then he meditates on the Atma. Then he gets realization of the Atma. Then he meditates on Paramatma. Then he gets realization of Paramatma. Then he actually takes to Bhakti Yoga. So Sanishta Bhakta is a very gradual progress from Nishkama Karma Yoga to realization of Atma, realization of Paramatma, and then we can say Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and then Bhakti Yoga. He comes to Bhakti Yoga. So there are specific verses in which how your Sanishtha devotee progresses. For example, 12.12, that is a verse meant for Sanishtha Bhakta. Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasat Jnana Jnanam Visheshyate Jnanat Karma Phala Tyagas Tyaga Kshanti Ranantaram. So in this verse, the same progress from Nishkama Karma Yoga to realization of Atma, realization of Paramatma, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, that progress is mentioned. Another, how the Sanishtha devotee progresses, it is explained in the, as we know, the second chapter and 18th chapter, both are actually almost the summary of the entire Gita. The 18th chapter, how a Sanishtha devotee progresses is explained from verses 18.45 to 55. Starting from Sve Sve Karman Yabhirata Samsiddhim Labate Nara Swakarmanatam Abhyacha Siddhim Vindati Manava. Whatever may be one's occupational duty, whether a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, whatever may be one's, if one performs that as a worship of Krishna, one can attain the supreme perfection. Yata Pravritir Bhutanam Yena Sarvam Idam Tatam. Like that, one should actually perform that as a worship of the Supreme Lord, who is all pervading. So, and then he progresses to like 18.51 to 53, once he becomes purified by Nishkama Karma Yoga, then he comes to the stage of Jnana Yoga, and then ultimately he attains Bhakti. That is how 18.55 it comes that Brahmabhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labate Param. He becomes liberated, then he comes to Bhakti Yoga. Then he says, Bhaktiyamam Abhijana, that is the way to, Bhakti is the only way of attaining me. So Sanishtha devotee is explained in these verses. The second devotee is that Parinishtita Bhakta. What is the Parinishtita Bhakta? Parinishtita Bhakta, he worships Krishna mainly by the Navavida Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam. But he performs his prescribed duties in order to set an example for others. So both Sanishtha Bhakta and Parinishtha Bhakta, both of them perform the prescribed duties, but then the attitude is different. In the case of Parinishtha Bhakta, he mainly worships Krishna by Navavida Bhakti. In the case of Varnashram Dharma, he performs only to set an example for others. So Parinishtha Bhakta is also explained by Krishna in various places. 3.20 Karma Naivahi Samsiddhim Astito Janakadaya Loka Sangraham Evapi Sampashyan Kartum Argasi. Krishna says that just few verses before, Krishna talked about the perfect stage of a Sanishtha Bhakta. That is, Naiva Tasya Krite Narto Nakrite Neha Karchana Nachasya Swar. That when a person takes pleasure in the self, when a person is satisfied in the self, then he does not have any duties to perform. So then, this 3.20, Krishna is telling to Arjun, but in your case, you are a Parinishtita Bhakta. So therefore, although you are more than a Sanishtha Bhakta, you are already purified, but still you must perform your Kshatriya Dharma in order to set example for others. Just like Janak Maharaj and others, they perform the Kshatriya Dharma in order to set example for others. Another verse for Parinishtita Bhakta is, Yat karoshi adashnasi, yajjihoshi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tatkurushva madarpanam. Whatever actions you perform, whatever charity you may give away, whatever tapasya you may perform, perform all these activities only as an offering to me. Baldev Vidyabhushan says that there is a slight difference between the attitude of Sanishtha Bhakta and Parinishtita Bhakta when they offer their prescribed duties to Krishna. In the case of Sanishtha Bhakta, he first performs the prescribed duties and then offers to Krishna. But in the case of Parinishtita Bhakta, he first offers to Krishna and then he performs the actions. I mean, there is a more intimate connection with Krishna. He is more saturated with Krishna consciousness. First he offers to Krishna and then he performs the actions. And in the case of Sanishta Bhakta, he only performs the Vedic prescribed duties as an offering to Krishna. But in the case of Parinishtita Bhakta, he performs all his activities as an offering to Krishna. Not just his Varnashram duties, even his activities of taking bath, even the activities of passing stool, in the sense he would consider, oh, I'm going to the service of Krishna, I'm going to perform service, so I need to become purified. So let me perform this activity as an offering to Krishna. So even the other activities which are related to the body, performs all this as an offering to Krishna. He first offers to Krishna and then he performs the actions. And Krishna, again in the 18th chapter also, Krishna talks about how the Parinishtha devotee progresses. In the 18.56, 57, 58. Sarva karmani apisada kurvano matvyapashraya kurvano matvapashraya mat prasadat vapnoti shashvatam padamavyayam. That person who takes shelter of me as his main work, though performing all his prescribed duties, attains my indestructible eternal abode by my mercy. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matparaha buddhi yogam upashritya machita sadatam bhava. Offering all your activities me, making your only goal of life, taking shelter of buddhi yoga, remember me always while doing your actions. And then in the next verse also, machita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi. By this you will overcome all these obstacles. Atachetvam ahankaran na shushyasi vinangshyasi. On the other hand, if you act out of your false ego, you will be vanquished. So this is the progress of a parinishtita bhakta. And then the third type of devotee with Baldev Devshan talks about is the nirapeksha bhakta. In the case of a nirapeksha bhakta, he has got nothing to do with Varnashram. He is only concerned about bhajan. He is only concerned 24 hours only in the service of Krishna. And what are the verses which talk about nirapeksha bhakta? 9.14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata. Nirapeksha bhakta is constantly engaged in kirtan. And then nirapeksha bhakta is being talked about in 18.65 and 66. Especially sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhya mokshayishyami mashuchaya. Abandon all other varieties of religion. Means like forget about all the dharmas related to the body. That means he's talking about Varnashram dharma. Just surrender unto me. And then do not worry about any sins. I will take care of it. Don't worry. So in this way, Krishna is talking about this three types of devotees. So just an example to understand. So, just in relation to the, some connecting to the theme of this one. As I mentioned, Vasudeva is at a very high level, but he actually considers himself as an ordinary person. So, in the sense, Nirapeksha Bhakta is a very high platform. But sometimes, a person who is not at that platform, he may try to act like a Nirapeksha Bhakta. Because Nirapeksha Bhakta has nothing to do with Varnashram. So, when a person is not at that level, when a person also becomes indifferent to Varnashram, then it will create disturbance in his life and also others. So just to find example, what is a Nirapeksha Bhakta? One example of Nirapeksha Bhakta is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he mentioned, it's a famous verse, he said that, "Oh my evening prayer, Sandhya Vandanam, all good unto you. Oh, my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. Oh, demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have desired to free myself from all reactions to sins. simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa. He said that I don't want to bother about any of this Varnashram duties, Sandhya Vandanam prayers and Shraddha rites, the forefathers. I just want to focus only on Krishna. So, but if you see the life of Madhavendra Puri, like he's so transcendental, he has got nothing to do with dharma because all these dharmas are related to the body. So it is, in one sense, easy to actually follow this aspect of Madhavendra Puri, not actually doing any dharmas related to the body. But Madhavendra Puri was a person who would not make any attempt to get what food he would get. What food, what lunch, or what breakfast, or what he would want to eat. It's like, he would not make any attempt to even beg from others. If some food comes on its own to him, then he would eat. So he practiced the ayachita vritti. Another example of nirapeksha bhakta is Jadabharat. Jadabharat, his father actually tried to teach Jadabharat in different duties of Varnashram Dharma because he is born in a Brahminical family. His father tried to teach him about actually Upanayana Samskara, about how to cleanse yourself and different duties of the Brahmana, different duties of a Brahmachari. They tried to teach him. But Jadabharat would actually behave in such a way that his father would lose all interest for it. He would do exactly the opposite. Like he didn't want to do anything to do with Varnashram. But you see the other aspect of Jadabharat, sometimes his brothers would actually throw him some dry oil cakes. Some food which would be meant for the horses and this one, they would throw him to him and he would not make any actually opposition, he would eat that. And people would engage him in all senses. He's a highly exalted Paramahamsa. They would engage him in some, just guarding for some field. And sometimes palanquin carriers of the king, they just spotted him. He's a very stout and strong. They just told him to actually come and you carry the palanquin. He did not make any opposition. And then even when he was actually took by the dacoits, he was about to be killed by the all those dacoits, he didn't make any attempt to protect himself. He had got nothing to do with the body. So that is the level of nirapeksha bhakta who doesn't perform any aspect of Varnashram Dharma. Another example of nirapeksha bhakta is Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami is so yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano viraha katara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravobi nedus tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. So Shukadeva Goswami was liberated from the birth. He didn't undergo any purificatory ceremony. He was liberated from the birth. He couldn't actually, he didn't distinguish between a male and a female. When he was going, the females who were taking bath, they did not even cover their bodies. They could see Shukadeva Goswami is a highly elevated person. So he was completely beyond the bodily platform. So that is an example of Shukadeva Parinishtha Bhakta. The example of Nirapeksha Bhakta. So, for example, when Shukadeva Goswami is going, that Vyasdev ran after him. And then the ladies did not cover their bodies when Shukadeva Goswami passed by, but they covered their bodies when Vyasdev passed by. So, Prabhupada writes there, that actually Vyasadev and Shukadeva Goswami, both of them are on a liberated platform. But because Vyasadeva is playing the role of a grahastha, he acted according to the role of a grahastha. So he had to discriminate between a male and a female. So therefore the other ladies actually covered their bodies by seeing Vyasadeva. Although Vyasadeva was old, he was in the position of their grandfather. And Shukadeva Goswami was just young and 16-year-old boy, but they did not cover their bodies. So Vyasadeva was acting in the as a Parinishtita Bhakta, but Shukadeva Goswami was a Nirapeksha Bhakta. In the case of Jadabharat, Jadabharat was a nirapeksha bhakta, but Jadabharat, when he was a Bharat Maharaj, he was a Parinishtita bhakta. So Parinishtita bhakta and nirapeksha bhakta, both are actually pure devotees. That's what Baldevi Diyabhushan says. But in the case of a Parinishtita bhakta, because he is living in this world, he has a responsibility to teach others how to perform the varnashram duties as an offering to Krishna. Because he's not living in some corner in Himalayas where he doesn't have the obligation to actually teach others. So therefore, his main activity is worships Krishna by Navavidha Bhakti, but he performs the varnashram duties as an offering to Krishna in order to teach others. So therefore, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his Bhaktiya Loka, when he mentions in the context of Sadhu Vritti, he mentions this point when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his conversation with Ramanandara, he actually rejected Varnashram. So then, in that regard, he says that from this, one should not conclude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to discard Varnashram Dharma. If that would have been the case, then he would not have instructed all living entities through his pastimes of completely following the orders of Grahastha and Sannyas. So Chaitanya, one purport Prabhupada explained, the very fact that Mahaprabhu took Sannyas, that means that he accepted the Varnashram system, because that is, we accepted the Varnashram system. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions a profound statement in Bhaktiya Loka, as long as one has a material body, the system of Varnashram Dharma must be followed. But it should remain under the full control and dominion of Bhakti. And that is what the Daivi Varnashram system is all about. Varnashram Dharma is like the foundation for one supreme occupational duty, that is Bhakti. When one's supreme occupational duty is matured, just like in the case of Madhavendra Puri, then when one achieves the goal, then the process is gradually neglected. Varnashram is gradually neglected. It is also abandoned at the time of death. Another quote from Chaitanya Shikshamrit, he mentioned, with the assistance of Varnashram Dharma, one should cultivate bhakti. It is also necessary to follow the rules of Varnashram in the cultivation of bhakti. And then he mentions, he says, though all humans have the right to practice bhakti, because bhakti is independent, whether a person is within Varnashram system or outside, anybody can practice bhakti. Though all humans have a right to practice bhakti, those who follow the regulations of Varnashram have a much easier time. This is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur statement. So there was one devotee who was actually wrote a letter to Prabhupada expressing his desire to divorce his wife and take sannyas like that. So Prabhupada wrote a very instructive letter. So Prabhupada said, the right understanding of Gita is Arjuna's understanding. In other words, Arjuna came to the conclusion that he must perform his occupational duty not as a material obligation for reasons of wife, family, friends, etc. Rather, he must conduct the functions of his station of life only as a devotional service performed for Krishna. That means Arjuna acted like a Parinishtita Bhakta. A Parinishtita Bhakta. So he says it does not mean that because occupational duty is not the real consideration, that I should give it up and do something else, thinking that devotional service may be carried on under whatever circumstances which I may whimsically decide. So Krishna recommended Arjuna not to disrupt the order of society and go against his own nature just for convenience sake. Then very beautiful letter, Prabhupada says that the Varnashram system is scientifically arranged by Krishna for providing facility for delivering the fallen souls back to Godhead. And if we make a mockery of this system by whimsically disrupting the order, that we must consider. So the point is that the pseudo nirapeksha devotee is that he wants to imitate those actions of Madhavendra Puri, like when he says that I say goodbye to all the Varnashram Dharma. But he makes a proper arrangement for the comfort of the body, food, etc. So that is a pseudo nirapeksha devotee. So therefore, one should act like the sense, it's a gradual, nirapeksha devotee is that is the highest aspiration. But in order to come to that level, we have to understand, we have to come to the level of parinishtha bhakta. And then when a person becomes matured, then the varnashram dharma is gradually given up. So lastly, I will just share one point about the another classifications of devotee from the 11th canto, which is based on the vision of a devotee, that is Kanishta Madhyama Uttama Adhikari mentioned in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter. In the case of a Kanishta Adhikari, this classification is based on the vision. So it is explained that Kanishta Adhikari sees Krishna only in the temple. So the deity is actually non-different from Krishna, but Kanishta Adhikari sees Krishna only there. But he doesn't see Krishna in other places. But if we extend this definition, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explains. So Kanishta Adhikari sees only the Guru as a Vaishnava. In the sense, Guru's consciousness is actually highly saturated with Krishna consciousness. So Kanishta Adhikari respects only the Guru. But he doesn't respect the other devotees who may not be as advanced, but then his vision of a Vaishnava is only limited to the Guru. He may quarrel with the other devotees because of his limited vision. Or a Kanishta Adhikari may perceive Krishna only in a holy dham, but his vision is restricted only to the holy dham, but outside the holy dham, he may not be enthusiastic in the practice of bhakti. Another way Kanishta Adhikari is that Kanishta Adhikari sees Krishna only in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually non-different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, every letter of Srimad Bhagavatam is only saturated with Krishna. But to see Krishna only in the Srimad Bhagavatam and not in the other scriptures, so that is also a vision of a Kanishta Adhikari. Because Jiva Goswami quotes in Tattva Sandarbha, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adau Antau Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Vedas, Ramayan, Mahabharata and Puranas, in the beginning, middle and end, they glorify only Lord Hari. So when we see Krishna only in the Bhagavatam, we are not able to see Krishna outside the Bhagavatam in other scriptures, then that means the vision is restricted. And we can see in the example of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami is the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. But when he was hearing from Bhishma Dev, when Bhishma Dev spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma Dev spoke about the Bhagavad Dharma, but he also spoke about all the other dharmas, so many other dharmas. But Shukadeva Goswami was present through all the narration because he had expanded vision, he could see Krishna even when you are speaking the other dharmas. That is a vision of a Uttama Adhikari. So in this way, to conclude, we discussed about how Vasudeva, because of his ecstatic humility, he considered himself as an ordinary person and asked the question, and Narada Muni answered those questions, and then finally he addressed the mood of Vasudeva also, encouraging him. And we took the example from the 10th canto, 85th chapter, when Vasudeva asked question to the sages at Kurukshetra. And then we discussed that sometimes a person at a higher level may think himself to be at a very lower level because of humility. But sometimes a person at a lower level may imagine oneself to be at a higher level because of little contaminated consciousness, because of pride. And we discussed the example of three types of devotees discussed in the Gita. Sanishta, Parinishtita and Nirapeksha. And we discussed the three levels of devotees from the Bhagavatam. So I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై.